Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
You're listening to Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. And thanks for joining us online at kpcg.fm and a live link at thetrumpet.com. Well, many people wonder about what God's plan for mankind is exactly. What does God have in mind for man? What does He have in mind for you personally? We can know exactly what God's plan is. We don't have to guess about it, and that's the exciting thing. Remember, on past episodes, we've quoted Amos 3 and verse 7. And if you have your Bible with you, you could look up these passages, and if not, you could always look them up later. Amos 3 and verse 7 says, "Surely the eternal God will do nothing, but He reveals His secret unto His servants the prophets." That's the great news. God reveals His secret, or what He plans to do, through His apostles and prophets. And God has revealed what His 7,000-year plan is. Have you heard about that before? A 7,000-year plan for mankind. God's little understood plan for man began about 6,000 years ago. And the pattern for this plan is given in the first two chapters of Genesis. And it is the week of 7 days. We have a 7-day week. And when we look at that and we put it together with what God teaches in His Bible, what He has revealed through His apostles and prophets, we can begin to see what His 7,000-year plan for mankind is. Now, you hear 6,000 years, and it's easy to think, well, wait a second. The earth has been around for a lot longer than that, hasn't it? I mean, haven't scientists discovered that the earth has been here for quite a few years? Well, that's true. The earth has been here for a long time. But we have to understand what the Bible teaches on this subject. It's important to note that the earth has existed for much longer than 6,000 years. Absolutely, it has. But when we look at Genesis 1, only the first verse refers to the original creation of the earth. There's quite a time difference and quite a time gap between Genesis 1 and verse 1 and Genesis 1 and verse 2, as we'll see. Let's look at that. Let's turn over to Genesis, the first chapter there, and the very beginning of the Bible in terms of the chronological order of the books. It says, "In the beginning," verse 1, "God created the heaven and the earth." And then notice verse 2. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong wrote in his book, Mystery of the Ages, which you can get for free at thetrumpet.com, he wrote this: "The original Hebrew for without form and void is tohu and bohu, meaning waste, desolate, deteriorated. The word was is also translated became. And thus possibly after millions of years, all had come to be oceanic surface, and light had been, by angelic lawlessness, turned into darkness." Quite a time gap between Genesis 1 and verse 1 and Genesis 1 and verse 2. In verse 2, it should read, "And the earth became without form and void," or "it became tohu and bohu." It became waste, desolate, and deteriorated. It wasn't created that way. God doesn't create anything in a state of destruction or confusion. But it became that way because of angelic rebellion, and we'll talk about that more on future episodes. But for the purpose of today's program, looking at the 7,000-year plan that God has revealed for mankind, we can see that indeed the earth has been here for, it could be millions of years, yet man hasn't been here on this earth that long. That's what the Bible reveals. And so when we look at Genesis 1 and verse 1 and Genesis 1 and verse 2, you have to notice that there is a gap in time between those two verses and the history recorded there. It is important to realize that there is a huge time gap, and that's where a lot of people get confused on to how long the earth has been here and how long mankind has been upon the earth. Everything beginning with verse 2 is describing a recreation or a refashioning of the earth, including the creation of all life forms, which God accomplished in 6 days. And then, what did he do on the seventh day? Well, he rested. God rested on the seventh day. Let's see what the Bible reveals about days. What can we learn about days? What does God use days for? Let's look at 2 Peter 3 and see what is written here. 2 Peter 3 in verse 8 says, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." There is one day of the week that specifically foreshadows a 1,000-year millennial period. One day, but it pictures 1,000 years. We'll see this in Hebrews 4 and verse 4. Hebrews 4 and verse 4 says, "For he spoke in a certain place on the seventh day, the Sabbath day, on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works." He rested. He used the first 6 days of the week to recreate the earth, resurface it, to create the life forms and so forth, including man. And then on the seventh day, he rested. Verse 11 of Hebrews 4 says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." So this rest that God took on the seventh day, here in verse 11 of Hebrews 4, we're told that we should labor to enter into that rest. It's something we want to enter into. There is 1,000-year rest that we are told to work towards entering. A 1,000-year rest. Now, what is this talking about? Well, Revelation 20 explains it. Revelation 20 and verse 4. It says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is that 1,000-year period that the seventh day of each week foreshadows. 1,000 years. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So notice that Christ is reigning during these 1,000 years. Now this is after Christ's second coming. This is after the rule of man. And God created one day out of the seven-day week, the seventh day, to picture this 1,000-year millennial rule of Christ. And we can picture that every single week. We're to be reminded of it every single week. And that is why God created the Sabbath day by resting. Every week we can remember this 1,000-year millennial reign where Christ will rule this earth with his saints. Now, when we come back, we'll look at the rest of God's 7,000-year plan. What about the other 6,000 years before this 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ? We'll look at that coming up right after this quick break. You're listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG.
In the summer of 1926, Herbert W. Armstrong asked himself, "Who am I? What am I? Why am I?" He tried to reason out the answer, but he couldn't. It was a mystery. Not long after that, he was confronted with a mind-disturbing challenge on the theory of evolution and the question of Sunday observance. After many months of virtually night and day intensive study, the answers were revealed with proof that was positive and absolute. These answers and many more are thoroughly explained in Mystery of the Ages, which is available to you at no cost or obligation. Time has proven Mystery of the Ages to be the most important book written in nearly 1,900 years. This world's humanity has been blinded to who, what, and why man is. How man appeared on Earth. Man has been mystified by his inability to solve his problems or find answers to the perplexing questions of mankind and the world he inhabits. All these mysteries were long ago revealed by the one supreme authority of all knowledge, but in a coded message, not allowed to be revealed and decoded until our time. In Mystery of the Ages, these great mysteries of life are thoroughly explained in vivid detail. Request your free copy of Mystery of the Ages today.
Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm as well. Live link there at thetrumpet.com. As we saw in the first half of today's program, the seventh day of the week pictures the 1,000-year rule of Jesus Christ on this earth. That time is just ahead of us now. We're right on the cusp of that time period beginning. Now, since the last day of God's plan is 1,000 years, then it logically follows that the preceding 6 days would amount to 6,000 years, a total of 7,000 years. 7,000 years for God's plan for mankind. Notice Acts 1 in verses 6 through 7. Christ's disciples wanted to know when his rule would start on this earth. And they were very excited for that time, and they were thinking it was going to happen pretty quickly. It says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" See, Christ had been crucified and resurrected. And so they thought, wow, I mean, obviously this is an amazing event, and this must be the time that Christ is going to establish that 1,000-year reign and restore again the kingdom to Israel. Well, in verse 7 it says, "And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." So the apostles did not fully understand the general time frame of God's plan while Christ was yet with them, and for many years thereafter. At first they thought the rule of God would be established in their day, but before they died, they understood Christ would return at a much later date. There was work that had to be done by the church that Christ was establishing, and that took time for that work to occur. And the apostles didn't understand that right away, but eventually they did come to understand that. Now, some people may quote Acts 1, verses 6 and 7 there and say, well, nobody knows the day or the time of Christ's return and when he'll establish the kingdom. Therefore, we'd have no idea. We might as well just go about our personal business and not pay too much attention to what's happening. But when you put together the other scriptures in the Bible, and you have to look at all of them that relate to this topic, Christ said that we should know when it's at the doors. And he gave the example of weather forecasters. They can discern the signs of the skies. And he said, we should be able to discern the signs of the times. You have to look at the signs, and you have to look at what Christ revealed. In Matthew 24, which we've talked about in previous programs, he outlined what you could expect to see before his second coming. So you have to keep all of that in mind. Yes, the day or the hour is not known exactly, but we should be able to tell the signs of the times and know that, of course, Christ's return is very close. And we can know that. And so the apostles didn't understand right away that it was going to take some time for Christ to return. There was work to be done, but they did understand that eventually. And in 2 Peter 3, we see that they came to this understanding. 2 Peter 3 in verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Of course, Christ is going to work to bring all mankind to repentance. That is going to happen in every person's season. And of course, there are different time periods when people are called. But God is patient, and he has refrained from intervening in world affairs for 6,000 years. Why has he done that? Why has he refrained from getting involved very specifically? Of course, he's been involved to some extent, but he has let man go his own way. That's why when we see suffering in the world, a common question that comes up is people say, well, why? Why would something be allowed to happen, an earthquake or a natural disaster or war? Well, man's going his own way. Man's not following God's laws, and God's giving us 6,000 years. Man has been allotted 6,000 years by God in which to learn that the ways of man bring nothing but suffering and death. I mean, that's what we're learning in this 6,000-year time period, which thankfully is almost up. Notice Genesis 3. This is really interesting because it talks about the beginning of man being cut off from God, except for the few that God is working with specifically now. But Genesis 3 and verse 22, and this is after Eve took of the forbidden tree and then her husband shared with her. It says, "And the eternal God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the eternal God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken." Verse 24 says, "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." So mankind rejected God's rule, Adam and Eve did at the beginning, the parents of all humankind. And so God said, okay, you're going to be cut off, except for the few that I choose to work with for my plan and my purpose. You're going to go your own way for 6,000 years, and you're going to learn what that's like. You're going to eat the fruit of that way. Mr. Armstrong summarizes this just brilliantly in Mystery of the Ages. Here's what Mr. Armstrong wrote. He said, "God said in effect to them, to Adam and Eve and mankind after them, you have made the decision for yourself and the world that shall spring from you. You have rejected me as the basic source of knowledge. You have rejected power from me through my spirit to live the righteous way. You have rebelled against my command and my government. You have chosen the getting, taking way of Satan. Therefore, I sentence you and the world you shall beget to 6,000 years of being cut off from access to me and my spirit, except for the exceedingly few I shall specially call, and that few shall be called for special service, preparatory for the kingdom of God. They shall be required to do what you have failed to do, reject, resist, and overcome Satan and his ways, and follow the ways of my spiritual law." Mr. Armstrong continues and says, "Go therefore, Adam," and he's summarizing what God was saying here to them, to mankind after them as well. He says, "Go therefore, Adam, and all your progeny that shall form the world, produce your own fund of knowledge. Decide for yourself what is good and what is evil. Produce your own educational systems and means of disseminating knowledge, as your God Satan shall mislead you. Form your own concepts of what is God, your own religions, your own governments, your own lifestyles and forms of society and civilization. In all this, Satan will deceive your world with his attitude of self-centeredness, vanity, lust and greed, jealousy and envy, competition and strife, and violence and wars, rebellion against me and my law of love." Isn't that what we've seen in man's history? Wars, violence, hating, all of these things that Mr. Armstrong is describing here, based upon man going his own way for 6,000 years, rejecting God's knowledge at the very beginning with Adam and Eve, and then all that have come after, except for the very few that have been called specially, have gone their own way. And even those that God calls have to come out of going their own way and have to overcome and conquer Satan, self, and the society that we are in. Mr. Armstrong continues. He says, "After the world of your descendants has written the lesson in 6,000 years of human suffering, anguish, frustration, defeat, and death, after the world that shall spring from you shall have been brought to confess the utter hopelessness of the way of life you have chosen, I will supernaturally intervene. By supernatural divine power, I shall then take over the government of the whole world. With re-education, I will produce a happy world of peace. And on repentance, I shall then offer eternal salvation to all. After 1,000 years of that happy world to come, I will resurrect from death to mortal life all who have died uncalled during this present 6,000 years. Their judgment shall then come, and on repentance and faith, eternal life shall be offered them. I bet you haven't heard much about that before. What about the religions of this world? What do they teach? Well, those that are so-called Christians teach that if you're not Christian, you have no hope. You're lost. And the Muslims have their belief. And the Hindus have their beliefs. And there's so many different religions. And yet God's truth says that all man will have a chance to know his way and have a chance at salvation in their season. All mankind will. There's not going to be anybody that doesn't have an opportunity to know right from wrong, to know the truth of God, and to make a choice. That's fair. God is fair. He doesn't say, well, sorry, to a certain group, you never heard of the name of Christ, therefore, you know, you're just not going to have a chance. Wish you had been born somewhere else. That's not fair. God is absolutely fair. Mr. Armstrong concludes here, and he says this, and this is from Mystery of the Ages, and he's summarizing basically what God is saying to mankind when they sinned and rejected his rule. He said, during this 6,000 years, when I myself shall cut them off from me, they shall not be eternally judged. Only as they sow during their lifetimes, they shall reap. But when I open eternal salvation to them, there shall be no Satan to hinder or deceive them, no Satan for them to overcome. Those few called during this first 6,000 years shall have to reject and resist Satan's pulls and overcome. But those who overcome shall sit with me in my throne and have power under me to rule all nations under my supreme rule. Remember, we read that earlier in Revelation. They're going to reign with Christ 1,000 years in that millennium. And then beyond. The plan doesn't stop there, but that's what God has revealed specifically, those 7,000 years. And so, what about you? Are you one that is going to be resurrected again to physical life and then be called and then be given a chance to live God's way? Maybe so, but maybe you're being called now. Maybe you have a chance now to resist Satan. It's harder now, because Satan is still the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Revelation 12 and verse 9, he deceives the whole world. But for those that do overcome him today, and who God is calling today, they reign with Christ for 1,000 years, and then have great, great rewards above and beyond that as well. So where are we in this process of 6,000 years before Christ returns and sets up that 1,000-year millennial rule pictured by the Sabbath? Well, by tracing the genealogies of Adam's progeny backward from Christ, as recorded in the Bible, we do know that Adam was created roughly 4,000 years before Christ was born. And a little more than 2,000 years have elapsed since Christ's birth, totaling about 6,000 years of human civilization to date. So we're right in the time transition between the 6,000 years of man and man's rule as influenced by Satan, and the 1,000-year rule of Christ. I mean, we're right there. It's not going to be much longer. Never before has it been so important for you to look deeply into your Bible and to live by it. Christ did show us the signs of the times that we should be looking for in Matthew 24. So make sure you look deeply into those things and consider where we are in this time period. Right at the end of 6,000 years of man's rule, where man could destroy himself, we have nuclear weapons all over this earth, unless Christ returned to stop it. And he will return to stop it very shortly and set up that 1,000-year rule of God's kingdom and government on this earth. It's an exciting time to be alive and an exciting time to really dig into the Word of God. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.